All right, everybody stand up today. Say Happy Father's Day again. How many of you got plans after service today? You got plans? All right. I can tell you, a number of you came to the early service to beat the Baptist to Piccadilly. Is that right? Sort of, kind of. All right, we'll leave that right there. All right, let's pray today. Father, how we love you. We thank you for the presence of the living God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for modeling it before us that we can know how to do this thing and be a dad and be a father and with all the other things demands on our lives. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen? Amen. All right, everybody got a copy of the little portrait of a father? Everybody, all the fathers, because they want one per family. And make sure you get a copy of this because we are, I'm going to teach some kind of a general thing. This is an excellent teaching on fathers. Two CDs in here. We got it when we ordered it. It had this elaborate case on it and decorative and looked like real. And so we bought it, and then they came in these little plastic see-through containers. So we didn't expect that, but we'd already bought them. But at least the material inside on this CD is excellent. So I want to encourage you, take it with you when you're riding around in your truck, in your car, going to work, back and forth to work. It will be a great, it's a nuts and bolts. It's I forgot how many hours and hours it is on how to be a dad. And some of the things that you can do and insights and biblical things. It will be a blessing to you. It will be more than we could cover in our short time together, but it would be a blessing to you. So go ahead and do that. Everybody say amen. If you didn't get one, make sure you get one right after service. That's Dan's. That's yours. All right. Scripture this morning. I want to talk to you this morning on the thought of imparting the blessing. And I forgot to hand out my outlines, didn't I? I need some hands. Just keep the rest for the, put them on back here on the for the second service. Everybody get one of these outlined. I want to talk to you today about the incredible potential that we have as dads. You will be amazed, and you'll see that in just a minute. You'll be amazed at the power that you have as a father. One of the phrases, how many of you enjoyed Joe McGee? Did you enjoy Joe McGee the last couple weeks? And one of the phrases I almost called it a phrase that he used over and over that I liked, and that was that prayer and things that we were doing in the Word, it was not a religious thing, it's a what? It's a what? Well, some of you listen to it. It's a legal thing. It's not a religious thing, it's a legal thing. And the power of the blessing, imparting the blessing to our children, is not a religious thing, it's a legal thing. It isn't how religious you are or not. It's or how whatever level you're on or not. It's a legal thing because you are the father of your family. You're the father of your children. There's a legal thing God has imparted to you and given you the authority to do to bring a blessing upon your children. I believe literally our success of our kids was not because of how smart I am, though that's a given, all right? That's a given right off the top. It was because of the blessing that Jasmine and I prayed continually upon our kids. We believed that God had given us the power to be a blessing to our children. We prayed over our children. We believed for our children. We spoke things into our children's lives, and that brought to pass the power of the blessing in their life. So I want to start. Numbers chapter 6 says, and here's beginning when God first gave a revelation on how to release the blessing upon a person. How to release the blessing upon an individual. And God spoke to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall what? We have lost the power of that word bless. Thus shall you bless. And we think, well, what is that? Just to make them feel good, to say a few words over them. It's literally the power of the blessing upon your children. What it says, thus speak to Aaron. This is, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so shall you, listen, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. The literal thing of blessing this people, Israel, was literally putting the name of God upon that people, in essence of what happened. And you'll do this, when you read the New Testament, almost every one of the writers, especially Paul, began their letters, their book of the Bible, with a shortened form of this thing called the blessing. Paul began all of his letters almost that way. Paul would write, peace and grace be multiplied to you. You read that? When you read the readings of Paul, every letter he wrote, he began it by the Arianic blessing, or the blessing of the people. He said, grace and peace, and this be multiplied to you. It was a shortened form of the priestly blessing upon a person. And he began his letters that way. He blessed them. And I want to show you today that that's more than just some little saying. It's literally the releasing of the blessing and the power of God into a life. So let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for the anointing to be able to teach your word. I pray for open hearts and open ears. I pray for good ground to bring forth 100-fold. And Lord, to bless our children and our grandchildren. We love you with all our hearts. And everybody said a good amen. Good amen. You can be seated today. I believe the supernatural significance of what we call the blessing has been lost on Christianity. I've taken many trips overseas, taken a lot of trips to the Middle East. And one of the things that we go over there is the Western mentality is that we are smarter than them. And in some things we were, but lately it's kind of the tide has shifted. But a lot of times we went thinking, and most of the people I went with thinking, this is a third world rate country, or these are third world people, and they're not as smart as us. And mentally they may not have been, but there were truths they knew and learned that we as a Western mentality have lost. One of these is the supernatural significance of the blessing of God. Christians use the word blessed for any time. You sneeze and we say, God what? God bless you. We use it in such an insignificant way. And one of the keys is you've got to understand that blessing is not something you work for. You cannot work and receive the blessing. A little boy was in a Catholic school, and the nun said, if you'll be good, God will give you a bicycle. And so that night, right before he went to bed, he knelt down by his bed. He said, Dear God, I'll be good. If I'm good for 6 weeks, would you give me a bicycle? He said, scratch that. I can't be good for 6 weeks. He's a naughty boy. I can't be good for 6 weeks. Lord, if I'm good for 3 weeks, would you scratch that? I can't be good for 3 weeks. He said, Dear God, if I'm good for 1 week, will you give me a bicycle? He said, scratch it. I can't be good for 1 week. He looked over in the corner. There was a statue of Mary. He grabbed a blanket, wrapped her in the blanket, threw her on the bed, said, Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, come on, somebody. You don't have to work for your blessing. The blessings of God come because I said before, it's not a religious thing. It's a legal thing that God does. What is the blessing then? Let me define it for you. And on your little handout, you can fill this in. The blessing is the input. I didn't give you enough room to write that on that one line, but you'll just need to scribble and kind of go up a little bit. The impartation of the supernatural power of God into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Believe this or not, you are, if you're a dad, you are God's delegated authority for your household. God has delegated his authority for you to rule and to reign in your house. He has delegated, and you have the power, believe it or not, by the impartation of the supernatural power of God, by your spoken word into the life of your children. It's not a religious thing. It's a legal thing. Just because God has made you, you've given your life to God, you now are the authority over your family. And what you speak into your family will come to pass. What you say into your family, it's very important. I'll show you that in just a minute. Now, let me give you a brief history of this. Let me show you how it worked in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the livestock over the earth, over all creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female created he them. And God did what? He did say, bless you, little child. He blessed them. We've lost the significance of what that says. Because we've brought it within the framework of Western society and think, well, that just means we have blessed. God blessed them. There was an impartation of a supernatural ability and power by God, by his spoken word, because at that point, he was the authority over them. He's the only one. He creates man and woman, and the Bible says he speaks a blessing over them. He blesses them. He releases a supernatural power by his spoken word into the life of Adam and Eve. They are blessed. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. He literally spoke a blessing, the blessing that came. Now, years, centuries later, in Genesis 12, he does it again. Watch this. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land I'll show you. I'll make of you a great nation, and I will do what? I will bless you. Now, put away your Western. The Bible was not written in America. The Bible was not written in South Louisiana. The Bible was written in the Middle East. They understood the power of the blessing. They understood the power of the spoken word. You read where the Bible says fathers would lay their hands on their children and give a blessing. Remember Esau and Jacob, where Jacob stole Esau's blessing. And when he came, Esau said, Father, can't you give me one? And Esau and the father said, I'm sorry, I've already given what I said, cannot come back. They understood the power of their spoken word of a blessing. The Bible says God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the now notice this phrase, and in you, all the families of the earth will be what? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You need the blessing of Abraham literally shaped the destiny, not only of Israel but of the world. The blessing of Abraham not only blessed Israel, it literally destined and shaped the history of the world. I'll show you that in just a second, how that took place. The power of the blessing. Let's jump to the New Testament. In Acts chapter 3, Peter writes, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You're the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to what? To bless you. To bless you. God gave a promise to Abraham of this concept of blessing. And then he says, in the book of Acts, when it's said, Peter quotes this in his preaching, quotes that out of the book of Genesis, and says, God said he's going to bless the whole world because of his seed. And so this is why God sent Jesus, that he might bless you. All right? Look at the next scripture. Jesus one time brought children. They brought children to him. And the disciples didn't think a lot of blessing. They didn't think a lot of it. They thought, well, what's kind of, it's menial. It's just, it became, at that time, it just became some religious thing you did. And they were bringing children, and these parents wanted to bring children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked them. And notice what the Lord does, because he understood the power of this thing called the blessing. Listen to what he says. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them, and Jesus saw it. He was indignant and said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such it belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms, and he did what? He blessed them. He took them in his arm and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. He blessed them. In our Western mentality, we think he took them. Oh, bless you, little buddy. Oh, bundle of joy. Bless you. He's so cute. Get the Western mentality out of your brain. He saw, disciples didn't put a lot of significance on the blessing. And Jesus became indignant, not only because of little children, but it became because he knew the power of the blessing. How many would have liked to have traced their lives and saw what happened to those children that he laid his hands on and blessed? You know what they would do? Jesus did what every rabbi did. Because you see, they came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, Rabbi. He did what every rabbi did in that day. He did Numbers chapter 6. He took those children in his arms and he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord make his face shine. The Lord give you peace. And then a rabbi would do this. Whatever else the Lord would prompt the rabbi to give, he would speak over that child. That was the blessing. That's what he spoke in their life. It was putting the name of God upon that child, or upon those children. And so Jesus understood the power of it. Whenever Jesus began his ministry, He began it by the first sermon was a series of nine blessings. Blessed are those that are hungry. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are persecuted. He blesses. Now, Mark chapter 10, as I said, he blessed the children, and it was an example. Now, Jesus took children into his arms. Let me say this. He never wasted time. Jesus never wasted time. He never did anything that wasn't important. He never did anything that didn't mean something. And so when he brought those children into his arms, he knew the power of the impartation of the power of God. He knew that when he spoke the word, he was the delegated authority. These parents were giving their children now unto God. And he spoke because he went beyond all the religiousness of dedication. And he said, I believe when I speak a blessing over these children, I'm speaking something into their life. It's the impartation of the power of God into the life through the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, David, when all the people departed, each to his own house, David went home and to bless his own home. And can I tell you, dads, one of the best things you'll ever do is bless your home. Bless your home. Bless your... Don't just say, you know, little... Bless your home. Whatever God gives, when you're praying over your home, ask God to bless it. When God brings things to your heart, God, I pray for this. God, I pray for that. The Lord, and I begin to pray. And Numbers chapter 6 is one of the things I begin with, and then I branch out from there. But Ephesians 4 says it this way to dads. It says, dads, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. One of the translations says, train up a child. And so one of the keys is when in verse 4, to do that, it literally meant where we get our word gymnasium. And it means to train up a child like a coach would train a child. Over and over he would demonstrate something so the child would get it. Over and over he would show it and demonstrate it, and the child would pick it up. The Greeks called a teacher or a father a mind engraver. And how many of you know some children take more engraving than other children? Have you had that in your life? Some children take more engraving than others. And sometimes you need to engrave some things on your children's life so they can get it and they can understand it. God created your children with a desire to be like you. Not like me, like you. If you drink, they'll drink. You cuss, they'll cuss. But if you go for God, they'll go for God. If you seek God, they'll seek God. I've learned this in my life. Your children have a desire to be just like you. School is not the place that we learn how to be our morals. I believe we learn our morals at home. I had one person tell me, I can't teach my children anything. Listen, I have been to SeaWorld. They can teach a whale to wave at you. Come on, somebody. You can teach your children to love God. They, on and on. Now, as Jesus spoke the blessings over these children's lives, the authority, there was a supernatural energy, I believe, that was released into their lives. Let me show you the last thing Jesus did when he was taken up into heaven. Watch this in Luke chapter 24. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he did what? He did what? He did what? Does he do anything that's just ceremonial, or does he do anything that's insignificant? The very last thing Jesus ever did, right before he left, he says, then he led them out as far, he blessed them. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And watch this. While he blessed them, he did what? The very last thing Jesus ever did to that early church was he put the blessing of God upon them. Think about the odds against that early church. Their leader was now going to be taken away. They were mostly uneducated bunch. They were in a hostile environment. The whole religious community was against them. And the Bible, Jesus knew, if they're going to make it, they're going to have the blessing of God upon their life. If they're going to make it, if they're going to be successful, I'm going to bless. I'm going to speak the blessing of God over their life. The very last, you know this, the very last words of anybody is some of the most important words. Can you imagine if you knew that these are the last words I'll ever say to my loved one? This is the last word I'll ever speak to them. And Jesus said, this is the last words you'll ever hear me when I'm on the earth. And the Bible says the very last thing he ever did was he raised his hands. And what that meant was, when they used to raise their hands, the old priests, that meant they were saying, this is not from me, this is from God. This is not from me, this is from God. That meant their hands, this is coming from God to you. I'm his delegated authority, but I'm going to say what God is saying. And Jesus on that last day, right before he's taken up, as he's being lifted up into heaven, he lifts his hands. And over that infant church, he says, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord raise up his countenance. And the Lord give you peace. And then he began to say what else that God gave him. The Lord's going to increase you. The Lord's going to open up doors of opportunity to you. The last words they ever heard out of his mouth was the blessing of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Was him blessing that early church. And you know this, that church has never died. It has literally changed the world. Everybody say amen one last time. Amen. You know, when you say the word shalom, shalom means peace. But it was the blessing. It was the blessing of God. When they used to say and greet each other, they would always say the word shalom. That was literally meant the peace of God. It meant more than just that. It meant that you would be protected in every way. Bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. It was a shortened form of the blessings of God in that early church. Jesus was gone in bodily presence, but he blessed them. And in Abraham, the Bible says God would bless the entire world through Abraham. When you read our history, let me tell you something. America literally was blessed because of this. The world was saved once through the descendants of Abraham. Joseph became second in command in the land of Egypt. Through his wisdom, a Jew's wisdom, the world is saved through a famine because he has the Pharaoh has dreams. Joseph interprets them. Because of the wisdom of Joseph, Joseph says, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do that. And literally the world, he became the savior of the world. All the world came to Joseph to get grain. All the world came to Egypt to live and not die. The world was blessed through it because of the blessings that God had upon Abraham. He said, I'll bless you. Everybody say bless you, would you?
Bless you.
John chapter 4, Jesus said it this way. You worship what you don't know, but we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Let me tell you, the Bible was written and there wasn't one Baptist author in the whole bunch. Come on, somebody. Almost every author of the Bible was Jewish because the world was to be blessed because of the blessing God put upon Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to speak something into your life supernaturally and you're going to be blessed and you're going to be a blessing. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm going to tell you, the blessing of Abraham produced the discovery of this nation. Christopher Columbus was an Italian Jew, if you don't know that. Know your history. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella issued an edict of expulsion out of Spain. Jewish people got behind the Christopher Columbus, paid for that discovery, paid for that expedition. We had what we call the discovery of America. All historians kind of list from the time they were kicked out of Spain, that was the end of the golden era, and the new era began with America. And I want to suggest that most of the blessings and much of the blessings upon this nation has been because we have been behind Israel. God said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that stand behind you, I'll stand behind. And those that don't, I will curse. Come on, somebody. I believe a lot of our success as a nation is because we have opened our borders and let Israel have a home until God opened up their own home. There's something about the blessing that God put upon that nation, upon that people. Let me tell you an accurate historical story that's seldom read in our history and in our schools. But when the 13 colonies were fighting the British over the American independence, George Washington and the colonists, they were literally poor. They didn't have much money. They were very underpaid. And they were near on the verge of defeat. And a Jewish banker by the name of Chaim Solomon in Philadelphia went to the Jewish community of America and Europe and put together a loan for George Washington and the Continental Congress. Never had him sign a note. Never had him do anything. Funded the revolution to release us and get us released from Britain. And we became a nation. George Washington admiration of what he did when they made the $1 bill. Put that up there. Would you do that? Here's a picture of a $1 bill. I don't have my pointer. But on the right-hand side in that circle, right above the eagle, you will see the Star of David, the six-pointed Star of David. Above that is this cloudburst, which was the Shekinah glory, spoke about it was the Shekinah glory that was in the holiest of all. Because of what the Jewish people did for America. Come on, somebody, say amen. A lot of things had taken place through the years. But you know why? It literally was the blessing of the living God. Listen, God's blessing is permanent. It never moves. You know, in America, Jewish population makes up about 2.5%. But guess what percentage of the Pulitzer Prize winners are Jewish? Anybody have an idea? 80%. 80% of the Pulitzer Prize winners are Jewish. They only make up 2.5% of our population. You know why? Let me give you why I believe it is. When every little Jewish boy and every little Jewish girl turns 13 years old, they have a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. What that is they bring their child and they have a big group come together. They bring their rabbi. And what they do is this. Among other things, one of the main things of that bar mitzvah is this. They lay their hands on that little girl, that little boy, and they speak Numbers chapter 6. And they're like, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord raise up His countenance upon you, and the Lord give you peace. And then they begin to speak whatever else the Lord gives them to speak in the lives of their children. You know why? Because then they, every Sabbath, every week, every Sabbath, they reiterate those things that God had gave them. They speak that into their life. And I believe with all my heart, the reason they're so successful is not because of this or that. It's because literally the power of the spoken word by the delegated authority over their life. They spoke it into their children's lives. They speak it into their lives. Everybody say amen one more time, would you? Now, last thing, let me do this. Let me give you the contents of the blessing. Number one is this. The source of all blessing is from God. Verse 24, Numbers chapter 6 says, the Lord, everybody say, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Number one is the content of all blessing. The source of all blessing is from God. You can fill that out in your little paper there. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, it's a blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Anything the Lord gives, there's no sorrow attached to it. Have you ever had anything given to you and there was a lot of stuff, strings attached to it? Here, I'm going to give this to you, but I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this. When God gives you something, He adds no sorrow to it. Come on, somebody. So all source of all blessing is from the Lord, number one. Number two is the Lord keep you. And the word keep is a military word. It means the Lord defends you by all means against all enemies. When God blessed them, when Jesus blessed the early church, when He said, the Lord keep you, He literally was saying, the Lord defend you by all means from all enemies. When I pray over our children, I pray that. I say, Lord, you know, we live in the most dangerous world there's ever been in the history. All the junk that's out there. I pray over my kids, the Lord keep you. The Lord defends you. The Lord protects you. The Lord bring a hedge about you. The Lord put... I'm going to tell you something. When I began to pray over my kids, I believed as a delegated authority, I could speak the blessing of God. The blessing was not just some thing. It's because Jewish people, they don't send their kids out. Well, good luck today. Good luck on your test. Well, good luck. What kind of blessing is that? Say, the Lord bless you. The Lord's going to make you the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody. The Lord will give you wisdom. The Lord will speak to you. The Lord's going to give you grace. The Lord's going to do this good. We spoke at all our lives of our kids. I'm going to tell you, both of my kids are valedictorian out of their classes. We spoke because we spoke those things in their lives. I said, Lord will give you wisdom. The Lord will give that to you. Speak it over and over. So the Lord keep you. The third thing is the Lord make His face to shine upon you. I said, God's not mad at you. He's beaming at you. God's not upset with you. God loves you. I spoke that into my kids. God is for you, not against you. It's not a religious thing. It's a legal thing. I'm the authority over my children's life. So I spoke those things into their life. The Lord be gracious. And number four, the Lord be gracious to you. Grace is when we receive what we don't deserve. We pray over our kids, Lord, be gracious to my kids. Lord, I'm not asking for justice for them. I'm asking for grace. Lord, I speak grace in their life. Grace and mercy. See, mercy is when you get what you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. So we pray both things. Grace and mercy will follow them all the days of their life. I said, God, I pray for my kids. Give them grace today. Give them what they don't deserve. And then give them mercy. Don't let them get what they do deserve sometimes. I'm going to tell you, God will turn things around. One time we got a call from the school, and the school said, we want you to know we're banning Ben from driving his truck any longer to the parking lot of the school. I said, why? It was over Hosanna. He said, because he burned rubber all the way out the parking lot today, out of school. I said, all right, I'll take care of that. So Ben came. I said, Ben, did you? I did not do that. I said, really? So I called the school back up. I said, my son says he didn't do that. I said, just tell me what, you know, he's got a black Tundra truck. I said, what color was that truck? Red. Come on, somebody. Well, that's a longer story I have time to tell, but it's a thing there. All right. Number five, the Lord lift up his countenance on you. Then number six, and the Lord give you peace. Everybody say, give you peace. We prayed over our children because, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stress our kids go under. They're under a lot of competition. They're under a lot of stress from school. I want everybody to stand up this morning. Would you do that? Our kids are under a lot of stress, and I learned that years ago. Jasmine and I played the good cop, bad cop. I got to be the good cop. And that way was, they didn't want to go to school. I said, oh, let's don't go to school. Let's go fishing today. Let's go have some fun today. I said, you know, because I knew, not that I didn't care about, because I worked with them. You should see, I got the teacher's edition of all their classes. I used to teach them. I knew the answers. I helped them. I worked them through problems and teaching this and that. I did a lot of stuff. And I'm going to tell you something, when you do that, you work hard. But at the same time, I knew my kids needed the peace of God on their life. They needed somebody to balance. And my wife, she had the whip. She'd boom, boom, and she got them. But I was Mr. Sitting up. We helped her. We worked hard. And I'm going to tell you, because you have, as a parent today, you have, and as a dad, happy Father's Day, but you have the potential of speaking into your children supernatural power of God by the delegated authority, by the spoken word, not by the thought word, by the spoken word. I want you to close your eyes, and especially if you're a dad this morning, I want you just for a minute, I want you to think. Now, all of us can be condemned because of whatever we've come short. All of us can. Nobody's been perfect. Nobody has been. But you can start right now this day saying, I'm going to speak into my family. As a delegated authority, I am the delegated authority. The head, the man is the head of the home. I have the delegate, not a religious thing, it's a legal thing. I'm going to speak the blessings of God into my family. I'm going to release the supernatural power of God to flow through my family. And God's going to do great and mighty things. When I was a little boy, I'm going to tell you the reason I'm up here today, when I was a little boy, my mom and my dad would say over and over to me, you're special. God's hand's on you. God's going to do something with you. As a little boy, I remember thinking, I'm going to do something for God one day. I know God's got a call on my life. I'm going to do something for God one day. Never left my brain because of the delegated authority over my life spoke that into my life. Said, God's going to do something into your life. God's going to do something in your life. God's going to do something in your life. Fathers, I want you to do right now, whatever it is, I want you to say, I want to pray together this morning. I want you. Right now, as a delegated authority over your household, I want you to begin to pray with me. And I want you just to say, just Numbers chapter 6 is a good beginning point. And then whatever else the Lord gives you, I want you to pray right now with me. Would you do that with me? Musicians, could you come up just for a minute, musicians? I want the musicians just come up just for a second. We're going to pray, and I'm going to believe God is going to do over your life and into your family what God wants to do into your family. Because God literally wants to release it, but He has delegated that authority to you. He will not bypass you, not go around you. But listen, you and God can do anything He wants to do. But I'm going to tell you, the way He set it up is a legal thing. He's wanting to bust into your family. He's wanting, even now, I don't care how old your kids are, it does not matter. If you're a grandparent, grandparents in the Bible spoke blessings over their children. Speak it into your children. Speak it into your family. Say it as a delegated, I'm the delegated authority over my family. I'm going to say, they shall live and not die. The Lord will bless them. The Lord will keep them. The Lord will make His face shine upon them. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon them. The Lord will give them peace. God will do. I speak this as a delegated authority into their family, into my life, into their lives. I speak it into their lives this morning. So I want to do this as every father in this place. I want you to say this. Do you say this for your family? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord give you peace. Now I want you to do this. I'm going to pray for mine, and I want you to pray for yours. Whatever else the Lord gives. Father, I thank You right now for financial success. Lord, I thank You right now for spiritual success. I thank You for good marriages. I thank You, Lord, for the devil not coming in dividing them. I bless their grandchildren. I bless their children, Lord. I pray and thank You for healthy deliveries. I thank You, Lord, for grace upon them. I thank You, Lord, for leading them and guiding them. I thank You, Lord, for every decision they got to make. Thank You for wisdom. I pray wisdom upon them, Lord. Give them understanding hearts, Lord. Lord, let them always be toward each other, Lord. Let there be nothing come in dividing. What You've joined together, let no man put... Lord, I just begin to pray these things over. I pray them in the name of Jesus. I pray a covering over our kids. I pray a covering over them. I pray, Lord, thank You for keeping my children. Thank You for guarding them, Lord, as a shepherd in their life. Lord, thank You for Your rod and Your staff in their life. Thank You. I pray over their kids. I pray over them, Lord. I speak the blessing over their life. I bless them in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And everybody said a good amen. Give Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would You do that? Come on. All authority.
All authority.
Come on.
Every victory is Yours.
Come on, say it again.
All authority. Every victory is Yours.
One more time. All authority.
All authority.
One more big clap offering today. Would you do that? Come on. Turn around, give somebody a good hug. God bless you. We'll see you in small groups in about 5 minutes.